It is entirely appropriate that the Boston Bruins notched a 2-1 overtime win against the New York Islanders last night when Ryan Donato made a nifty move in the shootout round, racing in from the right wing, faking to his forehand before deftly tucking a backhand into a small opening between the post and the outstretched pad of goalie Robin Leonard for the game winner. It was the kind of nifty goal the Knights' guest of honor used to make on a regular basis when he played 12 seasons for the Bruins from 1976 to 1988, earning the nickname Nifty from then-coach Don Cherry. Rick Middleton had his number 16 retired and raised to the rafters at TD Garden before last night's game, the 11th such Bruin to earn the honor, and well-deserved, not just for the numbers, which are impressive. Middleton ended his career as the Bruins' third all-time leader in goals scored and fourth in points, but it was the manner in which he scored many of those 402 goals that endeared him to Bruins fans. Middleton was a wizard with the puck on his stick, using subtle head fakes and imperceptible shifts in speed and direction to leave defenders befuddled as he weaved his way to the net. His go-ahead goal in Game 7 of the 1979 semifinals against the Montreal Canadiens should have held up as the game winner that sent the Bruins to the Stanley Cup final that year, but the infamous too many men on the ice penalty that followed spoiled that effort. Middleton also coached a team of USA sled hockey players to Olympic gold in the 2002 Paralympic Games, and many of them were there last night to help retire number 16, a nifty sight indeed. As for the game that followed, Brad Marchand scored in regulation to tie things up on a one-timer, getting a nice feed from David Pastrnak on the power play. Anders Lee had given the Islanders a 1-0 first period lead, but Tuukka Rask shut them down after that, making 28 saves for the win. Quite the shocker in the NFL last night as the Dallas Cowboys ended the New Orleans Saints' 10-game winning streak, holding Drew Brees and the high-powered Saints offense to just 10 points in a 13-10 upset in Texas. Ezekiel Elliott caught a 16-yard screen pass from Dak Prescott for the Cowboys' only touchdown. Jordan Lewis picked off Brees just his third interception of the year late in the game. That helped the Cowboys run out the clock and improve their record to 7-5. The Saints lost for just the second time this year. Locally, third-ranked Middlebury faces top seed Washington St. Louis in the NCAA Division III semifinal round of women's soccer this weekend. The Panthers have a shot at reaching the title game for the first time in school history if they can get past the battling Bears, who have yet to lose a game this season. They're a perfect 21-0. But the Panthers lost only once this year to go with three ties and 18 wins, and they have a potent offense led by Eliza Van Voorhees with 8 goals and 20 points on the season. The defense not too shabby either, just 10 goals allowed all year and 12 shutouts credited to keeper Ursula Allwang. Now, a Vermonter who once played on an 8-man football team for his high school in Winooski is trying to revive the format to keep the game alive in Vermont. Traditionally, football games feature 11 players on each side of the gridiron, but it's been tougher in recent years to field full teams, especially for smaller schools. Montpelier and Winooski lost their football teams entirely, and this past season, Missisquoi, Mount St. Joseph's, and Oxbow all had to cancel parts of their regular season schedule because of lower-than-expected player participation. But Sean Morse, who lives in Colchester and coached the JV squad for Champlain Valley Union High last fall, has launched a social media campaign to make the case for 8-player football to catch on in Vermont, and I reached him by cell phone to talk about that effort.
A lot of the teams you see today started as 8-man teams. Colchester was 8-man, Milton was 8-man, Otter Valley, Mill River.
So, Sean, I wonder if part of the reason that participation has been down is because, you know, these days maybe parents are more concerned about safety. Maybe they don't want their kids playing football. Would 8-man football be any safer?
You're still going to have injuries. You're still going to have, you know, there's always the potential, right? That's not going to change. It doesn't change the dynamic of that. It can be somewhat safer just because you're using less players on the field. Some kind of modified rules, it's a smaller field. Quite frankly, it's a contact sport, just like hockey. Hockey's high injury, lacrosse, high injury. So you don't take that out in contact sports. Point of what I want to do is not lose football in Vermont. And I think you'd see a lot of the smaller schools, like a Virgins or maybe an Enosburg or a Lamoille, that can actually field a team now because 8-man football allows it.
You said it might be a smaller field, but with fewer players on the field, you might have more opportunities to run, pass, and break some big plays open.
Yes, sir. You'll see higher scoring, at least 30-plus or 40-plus points a game. That's what I loved about 8-man football. It was exciting, and it was high scoring.
You know, you've got this Facebook page, the Twitter effort going on here. Do you feel like you're getting some support from the community, parents, other students? What are you hearing about around the community about this effort?
I haven't really talked to parents, per se, but there's a lot of support between a lot of coaches and a lot of programs that want to have their program be able to play and be competitive. And I think 8-man allows that. You know, if you don't have a high-level amount of kids, a high-level amount of skilled kids, you start dipping into younger kids, and it does make it where injuries can happen more so, and the scourging to younger kids. You know, you're having to dip into, you know, for a varsity program and think that you're going to be competitive with sophomores and freshmen, you're not. So really, 8-man in a way, if you think about it, can allow for programs to be competitive and, you know, not have to dip into younger kids to field a program.
Now, Morse is making his case to the Vermont Interscholastic Football League, which reports to the Vermont Principals Association, the panel that would ultimately have to approve 8-player football. We'll have links to Sean Morse's Facebook page, where you can learn more about his efforts later today when I post today's Sports Report podcast.